Alright, the session tonight will be the answer and question and answer. So, who would have a question for?
I'd like to know a little bit more what you're talking about when somebody dies, mm-hmm. grieving. So, can you explain what you believe the process should be? Because I think my understanding is there needs to be a grieving process, especially if it's somebody close.
Yes, alright. Alright, as you see the process of the dying people. So if we have two different phenomena. First, relate to the dead person, right? And secondly, depend on the relative. For a dead person, if during the lifetime, he practiced let go detachment, right? So, and when we practice letting go detachment or non-attachment to the, especially to the body or the physical, so that means the energy level is higher, is lighter. So, at the last minute, when we transform all the energy left over in the physical body into the photon, that means the light body, so it could travel depend on the frequency we accumulate through our life. Alright? So if that person not practice good, still attached to the physical body or the physical world, so the frequency is lower, more condensation. So after it convert into the photon, the light after that, it will be at a low frequency, low level. So it takes longer time for him to travel to the destination. And also for the relative, when we do the grieving, mourning, that means okay, we send the same negative energy to pull that energy back. We can send out the energy for sympathy, but it's not for grieving, not for mourning, not crying, not attachment. Because if we send that negative energy, okay, it extracts the negative energy by the law of attraction. But by sending the positive energy, because if we know that's not the end of life, it just transform the energy from the lower level to the higher level. And that's just a cycle of life. Like the wind, like the tree, right? During the winter, it may lose on the leaf, it string on the shaft, but it not die yet. And then when the spring comes, it will start to wood again. So if we look at the mundane eye, we can say, okay, at the end of the line, that means we transform from one state to the other, but it's not. The energy is still moving in the universe and then depend on the direction, depend on the frequency, depend on the power we accumulate through our life. So if the relative can send the positive energy to support for that, that means if the dead person have a low energy, but the relative send in positive energy, that means we supply more energy, so we live up. We can do anything good, anything with merit, and we send out the sympathy energy, and we send out the positive energy, let go, encourage that soul go. So he will go faster and go to destination faster. On the other hand, if the relative doesn't know that, and we grieving, mourning, crying, and we try to hold him back, that means more attachment and take longer time for him to travel. And he said, especially for the accident for people, certainly that, okay, they did not prepare for that. For the people with sickness, with aging, they had the process and time for preparing. So they know sooner or later we'll go. But for people who have accident or sudden death, okay, they not prepare for that, so they all the way get stuck around that. You see? Yeah, we can do that. That means the purpose of the ritual, ceremony, what we call the waking bell, to let that person aware that that's not the end of life. And the energy can be transformed into different level, different form. And by letting go, we have a quick recycle, quicker regrow, rather than okay, get stuck in that.
Like the energy is going out for a few weeks?
Yes, like... Okay, you see this, the pyramid energy. When we came in life, first we just energy, right? Get into the womb, get some nutrition in the placenta, and we start to have a carry up the bubble air or the liquid, right? After a few days, we start to divide the cell and form the organ. So grow bigger and become more solid. And then when we get out the mother womb, we eat, we breathe, and then we work, so we get bigger, bigger, heavier and heavier, right? And then the process will revert when we die in naturally. We're losing wafer, right? And then we losing the water, so it keeps dry out and scream. And then we start losing our breath, right? And then finally, we're losing the last energy, that means the warmth, the heat. So the heat is the final stage. Otherwise, okay, some people, they already stop, the heart stop breathing, the lungs stop beating, but the heat still remain in the body. Depends, some few hours, some more than 12 hours, some only about 2 or 3 hours. And finally, if we follow that track, the heat will concentrate and it move, and it locate at certain point for a short period of time. So that's why it has some tradition, okay, they can predict the future of that soul, where it will travel to, depend on the location on the dead body.
The spirit leave, and you visualize another, or similar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that the same weekend practice, that when we're still alive. When we're still alive, because we didn't have a time to talking about that in the practice of meditation. But in the breathing exercise, we have that one. We do the breathing exercise and contemplate on the image, on the color. And actually that can yield for, in the meditation, it can yield for the treatment for the medical issue too. As we know, we have the color with the human being, we can recognize only 7 color, right? So we can say from the red, that is the mod yang, to the purple, that is the other end, very yin. So the red, orange, to yellow, to green, and to dark green, and then to brown and purple. So the blue, it may be in the middle. So people with depression, for example, and it's too low level energy, we let the patient look at the circle of red color, for example. So when that patient just concentrate on the red color, and they imagine that, okay, that color will spread out bigger, bigger, and then the whole atmosphere in the room turn out become the red color. And you know that the law of attraction coming, right? Because the red color, it has a certain wavelength, certain frequency. So when we imagine that, that means, okay, we send a signal to that, connect to that. And when we send out a signal connect to that color, that means we send out a wavelength parallel or compatible with the wavelength of red color. So that means we extract more that energy coming, and it will stimulate or it will change the patient's status. On the other hand, people with schizophrenia, right? So our patient with restlessness, we have to calm the patient down by let the patient look at the blue or the white color, something like that. So the color have one thing, one application. We can contemplate on the material too. In the sutra, the Buddha taught the monk to contemplate on the water, on the soil, on the fire, and on the air. So when we contemplate on that, it will draw the energy in the same token by create the mind, the brain wave. So it will collect, it will extract all of that wave and come in, and then okay, it will turn out. And then for the lab, I believe it has some story in Japan. For boxer, it has some boxer, it's very well known in Japan. They ask the Zen master to teach them that technique so they can be a very powerful boxer and no one can be beaten. They apply the same principle. And for the spiritual practice, we usually have an image of the Buddha, the Maria, the Jesus, whoever. So when we look at that image and when we think about that, we concentrate on that, the energy will come in, right? And then also when we contemplate on that, when we imagine that, we have a direction, look like the target to approach to. But we have to practice until we get really concentrate. If not, we don't have the result. So depend on how we concentrate. The more we practice, the faster it goes. The less practice, with more distraction, okay, so we have less result.
Yes, but my spiritual teacher says that consciousness to, well, why is she asked for a child that's like doing that and use it to?
Oh, yeah.
He says, so I'll ask the angels to take my consciousness, if that's in the highest good, to use it. So you lead the decision of whether or not your consciousness is used.
Yeah, that's true, but again, it depends on the preparation of the person.
Yes, well, I'm hoping it will go to the children with a very low vibrational level, you know,
no, not really. No. Because usually depend on the A. The children, okay, they have a very, very concentrate, very high frequency because it's not be contaminated yet. When they pass the A of 6 or 7, they be contaminated by the mundane energy. But for the very young children, they very concentrate, very emotion. That's why okay, usually okay, in when we have a dead person in our family, usually the young children can see the image, can see the energy, right? But the elder people don't see that, don't send that, because they're not be contaminated. But if they pass the seven, even six or seven, okay, they losing, start to losing all that capacity. The same thing to remember the past life. The children have a capacity to remember more than the older people.
I thought if you had a very low karma.
That happened, but it's not that on the case. Depends. It have again, it always have two sides, right?
Yeah.
If for example, we have to reincarnate, for example, we need to go through seven class, right? So if we are smart students, we can come in only a few months and then we finish, we graduate, right? And then we go up. But on the other hand, some students, okay, they are not very smart, okay, they come in and they cannot study. They have to go back. You see, so the same thing in here. Some high, what they call the high level energy soul, they may reincarnate and okay, if not even though they just get into conception, they die right away in the mother womb, that is considered one life already. Even though only an hour. And some higher soul, they can at the same time reincarnate in two different, that means they manifest at the same time in two different bodies. The same place, a different place, yeah.
Like twins? Or
no, no, not twin. Twin, that means when we have a twin, that means in the past life, they may be, you know, husband and wife, a brother and sister, our brother and brother are the very best friend. They have the same purpose, they promise the same thing, something like that. But I'm talking about at the high energy level soul. They have a capacity to at the same time manifest. That means reincarnate into different body. Maybe at the same country, maybe a different country. If you want to do the research on that, it have, what's his name? Michael Newton. Look at the Michael Newton. He wrote about four or five different books and he had more than about 7,000 cases. He report. That is the only best, right now we have investigated in that field very deep and it helped a lot of people. Michael Newton. Mm-hmm. Because he originally was a doctor, he was the hypnotherapist. And after that, because you know that now recently, for the last few decades, the energy from the universe is flowing faster and stronger. Then it helped for the industrial development higher. But at the other end, that means it makes more people depressed, more suppression, more problem, more disease. So that's why the spiritual life starts to open the window for people to aware that. You see, in the developed country, like Europe or in America, 100 years ago, we don't have much religion, right? Open window for our religion coming. But start after the World War II, more and more they open for more other religions to come in. So the same thing in here in the spiritual world, they try to open window for whoever had opportunity to get involved and to be the, what we call the mediator. So he accidentally, he usually, for example, in normal life, for the psychologist, they used to can bring the patient back to certain period of time, at birth, about 2 years old, 5 or 6, 12, 13, or about 18, 25, or when you get married, when you graduate, when you have a first job, something. That is some mark in our lifestyle, important event. But I think the first case he got, like a patient, a lady, she always feel nausea, vomiting whenever she got into the closed dark room. And then check up on the doctor, physically no problem, check the blood, look all the exam, no problem, see this can. Nothing they can find anything, nothing wrong. Send through the psychologist, nothing wrong. Send through the psychiatrist, nothing wrong. And this doctor, he was a psychiatrist, and then he's also the hypnotherapist. So and then he tried to hypnotize the patient and to bring it back to see what happened in her life. And he just bring it back, until usually most of the hypnotherapist, they can bring the patient back to around at 2 years old only. No one can bring back later on than that. But this doctor, lucky for him, okay, he can bring the patient back into the time the patient was born. Still nothing wrong. Because sometimes when the delivery, we use the technique and then okay, the patient and the child cannot get out, so it gets trapped in there. Nothing wrong. And check in the thigh or in the womb to see the umbilical cord okay wrapped around her neck or not. Not. So accidentally what he said, but I think this is the spiritual world open the door for him with the assistance of headmaster. And okay, let him send the patient back to the last scene of the patient that in the past life. He was killed in the small room. And people tried to close her neck. So that is the struggle for life. So that struggle, that energy is too strong, so it makes a mark on her brain. And also that energy is spread out. It released into the air, into the universe. So after she was born and it is busy, something like that, and then after her life is stable, and I come back. And after that, he discovered a lot of problems. So that's not the karma, that's not the disease for this present life, that's from the past. That's why, again, as I told you this afternoon, our brain wave can go with the speed of light, can pass through everything. But again, it gets trapped in the womb, cannot get out, cannot get back, and almost eradicate brain wave. We cannot remember much of the time, we cannot remember much of the past life. If we can remember, but we cannot grasp it to transform that, it will be very terrible. Doesn't matter if it's good or it's bad. If it's good, you get attached to that and you expect the same thing, but unfortunately we can't, right? But if it's bad like that, okay, we only live with the past and we struggle, we suffer. So that's why the purpose of life, when we get in there, eradicate on the past memory. Only when we practice mindfulness, when we know detachment, when we learn how to let go, and when we learn how to transform that, and we start, get back right away. That's why you say after 49 days of meditation, the Buddha got the first supernatural power. That means remember all his past life and other people's past life. Because our brain, it look like a mirror, right? It looked like the surface of the palm of water. When we shake it, when it's dirty, it cannot reflect it well and clear. And then when we sit still, our mind becomes like a mirror, very clear, very bright. So the reflective capacity can be very far away, very clear, very detailed. That's why we can remember really, really far away. But if we not study, not practice how to let go, how to recognize, how to transform, when we see that, it becomes the other end, the other side, it's terrible. So that's why in the world, eradicate all that. And after a series of about thousands and thousands of patients from all over the world, he already working with, and he have he developed a plan for treatment for the past life. And after that, he get deeper. That means life between life. That means between the type of reincarnation, that energy stay where, what they doing. So they tell him all that. So he report, I think, over 7,000 cases. And that's real, because right now we have almost, if you get into his website and you get into the website of the practitioner, what they call them, hypnotherapy, or life regression, yeah, you can have two different brands, one, okay, just the past life only, one in the middle, somewhere above there.
Called Soul Travelers, and it's a good mm-hmm.
Because now I encounter a lot of patients. Actually, even though I'm not before I know that, I already help the patient by meditation. We know all that. Only because people not really believe in what they cannot see, cannot feel, cannot experience. But now, because the window open, so this doctor can manifest all that one. He can ask the patient a question, he can maintain the patient in the low frequency, so they maintain the awareness. But if not, get involved in the consciousness. So the patient still can hear the question, the voice of the doctor, but the consciousness not get involved, because the consciousness get involved, so it becomes distracted and something not good, they cannot retry, they cannot tell the truth. And then also everything were recorded during the whole session, so after that, okay, they can replay it. So we had a proof for that. And each patient and they can how depend on the level of the soul. And they have the equipment to measure the frequency on the what we call the aura. Because the frequency of the energy, okay, it will create the energy around and it turn out become a color of the sound. So they can capture on that image. So now we can have equipment to measure on that one. So they start again, they start to believe that based on some equipment, something they see. But much more we cannot see. We can experience that only. It looks like the story between the fish and the turtle. You know that story? The fish can live in the water only, right? He cannot travel out in the air on the ground. But the turtle, he can live in the water, get along with the fish, but he can travel to the ground. And then on a sunny day, he likes to come up here, okay, traveling around, look at the sky, look at the green, look at the people, look at the car. And then he wandering around for a few days. And then he come back to the pond. The fish, huh? Where did you go, guy? I travel up there. You kidding me? How can you go up there? I'm walking. You think so? Is that either clear, you can turn around, like no. It doesn't have the buffalo, yeah? No. But whatever the fish asking, the turtle say no. Because the concept of the fish live in that environment, so whatever his mind, okay, his conception of that, right? So whatever he asked, the turtle say no. So that means, okay, you have nothing because you tell the lie. The same thing in the meditation are in the true reality. If I drink hot water, you drink hot water too. But the temperature may be different, right? And the adaptation, maybe I get used to the drinking hot water, so I drink a 60 degrees Celsius water, I feel normal. But if you not get used to that 45 centigrade degree, okay, you feel burning your throat. So how can we know? Right? I've seen a cup of tea. Why some people drink normally easily, but I cannot bring, I cannot sit or sit. So that's why, okay, something we need to be in there, we need to be experienced by ourselves. And we don't need to say anything. So, okay, I'm there. Okay, I know what you mean. You see, but if you're not in there, doesn't matter how you explain. You can use this example, you can use the other example, but all that imagination. But it's not a real. But when you've been there, okay, I know what you mean. That's it. All right.
Question?
Yes.
I wanted to ask you about law and laws.
Yes, thank you very much for that question. And again, I remind people all the time, no one, no phenomena in this world can survive or develop without energy. Right? Remember that. So, the disease state, the sickness, the wellness, whatever, still need energy. Secondly, everything have two sides, good and bad. For the raw food, it's good in terms of fresh energy. That is the true energy. But what makes the human being more advanced than ape, monkey, or the other mammal?
Okay.
Yeah. They know how to use the 2 and the 5. So that's why, okay, it have advantage and disadvantage. If especially in the case of people with depression, with arthritis, with multiple sclerosis, with heart disease, etc. When we use the raw food, it's very, very yin. Yeah, that means it's negative. So it may make your body feel cold, low energy, even though it's fresh energy, but it's low. When we apply the heat, that means we provide more energy and we turn it and become more yin. It's more positive. See, the only problem, because we don't know how to recognize when it's enough and for which disease, we should chew which fruit and how we cook. If we combine too many together, even though that is a fresh, that is the organic, but when we combine too many together, remember that's still a chemical molecule, right? And when we combine together, that means the reaction occurs right there. First. Secondly, when we add heat, if we add heat at a certain time correctly, okay, that is the catalyst, right? So if we add heat in a certain amount correctly, okay, the reaction not occur all the way. So we have a less new compound. But if we cook for too long, that means okay, the catalyst provides too much and then the reaction just keep occur depend on how many substances we add together. So it may come out a whole bunch of new compound and very complicated. So that's not good for the digestive system. So it's good side and a bad side. And then also when we add more ingredient in there, more spicy stuff in there, that means it's more catalytic in there. And then okay, it comes out more and more complex compound. And another bad thing too, that means okay, originally out of the mineral in the soil, that is inorganic. And then it brings all that into the plant to manufacture, to transform that into the organic. And then when we cook incorrectly, when we combine incorrectly, it turns back to inorganic again. Our body cannot absorb that. So it gets stuck in the body. So the cooking technique, the combination technique is very important. Like here, we didn't have opportunity to talk about it, but now yesterday we're talking about all the combination of this already in Eurasia, and we did not talk about the combination, the ratio of carbohydrate, protein, vegetable, and fat, oily, etc. But for fruit, nowadays we have many kinds of that. And then first, because they grow genetic modification, so they can, and it grow in the greenhouse, and then we import from many different countries. So that's why, okay, we had the same fruit all four seasons. Alright? So that refers it again in Asia. Secondly, when we use this, especially when we use for dessert, correctly we should eat all this fruit, doesn't matter that is the acid, that is sub acid, or that the alkali. We should eat it on empty stomach. That's the first thing. Because when we eat on the empty stomach, it will absorb right away. So all of the vitamin and the mineral will remain in the organic form, the useful form. But if we leave it too long in the stomach, the acid will convert that, ferment it, and make it become inorganic, or make it change to different substance.
We should eat the alkali fruit on an empty stomach.
Doesn't matter what kind of that.
All of them.
Yeah, when we eat on empty stomach, okay, get into the blood, it will make it all alkali. So first, if we eat it during the meal or after meal, okay, it will slow down the rate of absorption, because it takes only about 15 or 20 minutes for all this one to get through the intestine. But and if we eat after meal, it remains in the stomach for 2 or 3 hours at least. So that means it changes. Secondly, when we eat fruit, nowadays we worry about all the chemical and the preservative, the wax and everything on the peel, on the cover. So we try to eliminate that. You see the correlation? The fruit, the vegetable, whatever the appreciate of that, whatever good, they not show up. They try to hide inside the molecular of the cellular molecule. They have to protect in that, because they don't want to show up. If they show up, the insect will come to eat. If they show up, the oxygen in the air will oxidate that. The light will oxidate that. The heat will break it down. So that's why it needs to be hidden inside that. And that's not enough. That's not enough. Outside of that, they have the layer, the fan to cover for that. That is the protected layer. So in that layer, usually it has to be very thick, very hard, and then it covers the taste of very bitter. It has a tannin and a pectin in that to make the insect cannot, don't want to buy in that. It also, the mechanism of that chemical, it makes the cell, it shrink together, it tie close together, so the air cannot penetrate from outside in, from inside out. It makes the water cannot, it like look like the waterproof, so the water inside cannot get out, the moisture outside cannot get in. So that is the protected layer. And now if we remove all of that, we eliminate all that. That means when we eat that, we deny the protective mechanism for our body. That's why our immune system starts to get lower and lower, because we don't want to be protected, right? The nature gave us everything. I give you nutrition, I give you the protection. But you don't want. You kick me out. So that's why you not be protected. That is one mechanism of why when we eat and we eliminate that. When we eat especially canned food, alright, we feel not good at the raw food. So that is one good one. So people depend when they say some advantage and say, everything good, so I eat raw food. But raw food, it have advantage. Certain point, but we have a disadvantage to counterbalance for that. The other problem, when we eat the sweet one in between the meal or after the meal, you see that if we have the full stomach with all the protein, carbohydrate, fat, it takes about 2 to 3 hours at least to empty this one. Especially when we eat almost full stomach already, and then we have dessert on that, very sweet. 15 minutes later, cannot dump it out yet. It's fermented. So when it's fermented, the gas builds up and we have a stomach problem. You see? And also the sweet, the sugar, it will come down here. And when the sugar mixes with the fat, it will coagulate, clumping together. So the digestive fluid tries to break it down. Now the sugar comes in, can't buy it again. So kick it out here. You take all my work for nothing. You see? So when, especially I'm talking about combining when we're drinking too. If we're eating, drinking together. Especially, I don't know in Europe, but in America, they drink Coke or soft drink, cold drink in the middle of the meal. And most of the meal, you see a lot of protein, a lot of fatty acid in there. So that is totally again, not too bad. The cold temperature, it already makes all of the fat coagulate, clumps it together, right? And some soft drink, it had a whole bunch of sugar in there. It all coagulate. That means we eat a lot of good stuff, but it turns out on the bed. Because it not only it wastes on energy from the liver, the gallbladder, the pancreas, the stomach, trying to secrete the enzyme, the fluid to break it down. And all that comes in to put it together. When it clumpy together, going down here, cannot get through it. So the body will recognize that is the bad stuff. Mucus secretes that. So it blocks it more.
Why are you saying that the meals we had here, we shouldn't have been? We've been eating soup, main meal,
okay.
And then we've had absolutely delicious raspberry or apple stew. Are you saying we shouldn't have that after that because it's sugar?
If we eat a small amount, it's okay.
Yes, but I eat a large amount.
And then
so we should have the sweet stuff at breakfast on an empty stomach.
On empty stomach, yeah. Or maybe we can use a small amount. I told you the mechanism of that to stop the craving for eating, because the high amount of sugar when it's released out and it satisfies the brain right away, so it shut down. But and then we abuse that. So we override that message. So
I have since I've been on the staff here, that my sugar craving is gone. So I'm delighted about that. It's really helpful for me.
So, and then when we crave for that, that means we override that message. And when we use that, too much sugar on the nutrition get into the stomach, it clumps it together. And then when it gets down, it cannot penetrate, it cannot pass the intestinal layer. So then we don't have energy, right? Because it cannot get through. So we don't have enough energy. So if we don't have enough energy, it sends a message back to the brain. Hey, I don't have energy. So we're eating more. But when we eat more sugar in, or when we eat more, okay, it cannot digest it, so it will saturate. And remember, when you have a piece of wood, you don't have enough oxygen to burn, and there will be more byproduct coming out, you get stuck in there.
So for practical purposes, should we have the pudding first?
Yeah. So that's one thing, when we're talking about the squeeze stuff. Next to that, if we eat, we say, okay, we know the peel is good for the protection, right? It has a lot of mineral in that. But and then we already know the mechanism of action that it has a tannin or pectin. So it seals up the layer. So if we use on empty stomach, it's good because that protective mechanism can get into heart to protect our mucous membrane, the layer. But if we use that between the meal, what happens? It kind of the same mechanism. When we use all that, okay, tannin in caffeine, in tea, in the fruit, come in here. All the body fluid, enzyme fluid, try to break it down, and I come in, it combine together. That's only one mechanism action. The other mechanism action for all that, when it make, it string the cell together, it tie it together. So, for the sugar, for the sweet stuff, it have only one mechanism. That means it just clump together, right? But it not make the cell tie. That means the whole still the same, only the size of the molecule now is bigger. So for the tannin or the pectin, it's almost double or triple, because it's not only clumped together, coagulate together. It's now going down here, all of the cell along the GI tract, it makes it tighter. So the size becomes bigger, the hole becomes smaller, no way can pass through. So it gets stuck in here more. So that's why we usually use all that charcoal, caffeine, tea, all the pectin to treat for what? Diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, a toxic substance ingestion, to make it coagulate together, right? So it not penetrate, so now we yield in the wrong time. So all of the good stuff now become bad one if we yield at the wrong time.
Can I just ask a gene inhibitor for acid reflux?
Yeah.
Does that, how does that interfere with digestion? I mean, for example, would it block the absorption of vitamins?
Usually, the doctor, the Buddha taught us, okay, we have what we call eating, sleeping, and clothing. Never be, should be full supply. Why is that? When never be full supply. That means never eat full stomach, never sleep full day, never wear clothes cover completely. That means too comfortable, too fully supplied.
Too many things.
Not too many things. That means it's too satisfied. Too comfortable.
Too comfortable.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we eat, for example, if we had a stomach, if we eat full stomach, it have no space for the digestive fluid to penetrate, to break down. Right. Only 2/3, maximum only 2/3 of that. Alright? First, it's very scientific. If for some reason somebody tell you, okay, eat the dessert, okay, you take a little bit more. Or maybe the digestive fluid, it had a space to penetrate, to mix with all of the nutrition we eat. So it can break down completely, and it can get down, and it can absorb maximum. So so the byproduct will be minimum. So we use almost not waste anything, right? On the other hand, if we eat too much full stomach, the digestive fluid cannot penetrate in completely to break down all that. So not only the small intestine cannot absorb all that one, but the leftover, our body will recognize the bad guy and secrete more mucus, and it block and it gets stuck in there. And secondly, the Buddha taught us eat only two-thirds of stomach, because it had to take more energy from the other level. Every day we need 2,000 calories, for example. If we eat only two-thirds of stomach, we provide only 1,500. So our body needs to find out the other source, another 500. So it will follow the pattern energy of the universe. Go from the top, the lower level, upscale. So, where it can find out that? First, it will go into the intestine to wrap out all the bad bacteria. Because they stay in there too long. They're the same frequency, the same level of energy. But you are not doing good, so I take you back. Okay, so that's the protein. After they clean up all of that, and then the next level, okay, they will go around to clean up, to wrap on the old, the abnormal cell, recycle. So after they finish all the cleansing like that, finish the first level, now they go up to the second level. That's why usually the monk or people practice in the Buddha teaching how to stay in contact with the nature. So we have the eye, the ear, the skin contact with the fresh air, with the sound of the bird, with the humidity in the air, etc. So that is the second level of energy. And thirdly, we use it in mindfulness. Right? After eating, okay, we get into the meditation, contemplation. So we feed our mind. And we practice contemplation, meditation, higher, so we go into the spiritual practice. So that means automatically, when we not provide enough energy for the stomach, for the body, it has to get back into our body and then get back to the nature, and we will lift up. You see? The same thing for the clothing. If you wear clothes too comfortable, your immune system becomes weaker, right? In the cold weather, if you have a full supply, so immune system cannot defend. But if we don't have enough, okay, and we're training, okay, the internal trying to burn out on the extra energy on the fat tissue, and then it tries to push it out, right? So when it pushed out internally, externally, okay, it will clear up on the channel. And then whatever obstacle, whatever bad thing, bad energy, okay, be pushed out. But if we wear full, protected, okay, it gets stuck there. So, and then the energy cannot flow evenly. And the immune system becomes weaker and weaker. That's why you see people, okay, in the third country, they were in a good training, okay, they have a stronger and immune system better. And thirdly, sleeping. We are talking about that. The more we lay down, the more we sleep, the more we go back the evolution, and our mind becomes blocked more, and it blur. The mind is not dry, it's not aware, it's not alert. Right? So if we sleep less, okay, we feel more awake, more alert, more time to practice. So, eating, sleeping, and closing.
If we don't sleep enough, we don't feel alert enough to practice.
That's because we eat a lot. If we don't eat a lot.
Don't eat too much.
Yeah. Right, because that way, one in three and three in one. You see, if we don't eat a lot,
yeah.
Right? So that means, okay, if we are, the body already lies already.
Yeah.
So and then it takes upstairs, up, the energy, so it lifts up. When we eat full stomach, we feel heavy, right? Automatically, okay, our mind, okay, it can slurp it. But when we eat less, and again, this is the law of the gravity attraction, or the law of attraction get in. When we get stuck, when we get attached to the physical, the material, will be drawn out. When we have less material, we have more light energy, okay, will be drawn up.
So how much sleep is enough?
That depends. If we work, we do everything in mindfulness, that means we not waste our energy up here. So we don't need to recharge. Look like you have the battery. You have the flashlight, whenever you need, okay, you turn it on. When you don't need to turn it off, you save the battery. So you can use longer time. But you turn it on all time. The life of the battery becomes shortened. So people working in mindfulness, especially they practice meditation often, okay, they recharge faster and they not spend any faster, so we don't need sleep now. Not yet.
Okay.
At least four. Yeah, around four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, so we take a few minutes break and then we come back for watching our mind. Now, the meditation.
Meditation room.
Yeah.
Because I nearly fainted, and the girl on my left, she had nausea and she wanted to vomit. So I want to know why.
What information
do you need?
Your name, your medical history, and what your question relates to, the issue you want to improve or something like that.
Can I give it to you tomorrow?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, the last few weeks, it's all been really growing up.